So we're going to talk a little bit more about what I started off the previous podcast with, is justification for wearing a mask is so that you don't sneeze or cough on other people. Yeah, I'm real serious about this. How is it that if a woman wants to murder her unborn child, right? It's my body, my choice, and you can't tell her what to do with her body, and she's got complete control over her body. But if this same woman is going to sneeze, she can't figure out how to not sneeze on the other people around her unless she's wearing a mask as mandated by the government. And I mean, once again, not only are all of these laws and rules to save us from the Wuhan virus based on superstition, but they're also, as laws and rules always do, designed to cater to the least intelligent, the least competent, the least capable people in our society. And this is why right now Western civilization is dying, because everything that we do is designed to facilitate the continued existence of the least useful and least intelligent people in the society around us. I mean, if you're not smart enough to not sneeze or cough in the direction of another person, why would you be allowed to vote? I mean, we could say, why would you be allowed to live? And that's completely legitimate. I'd be willing to let these people live. If they simply weren't allowed to vote or make any kind of decisions or reproduce, because they're superstitious. Wash your face and hands, guys. That'll make you immune to viruses. Do all you can, Karen. What happens when you believe in things you don't understand, Stevie? Tell us. What? Tell us! Oh! Alright, now that we got that wisdom from Stevie Wonder, let's get back into it. Once again, we gotta hit this. Hit it hard, like we hit your girlfriend, because we gotta let the cover like a fat woman. I'd really like to get through this in this episode. I don't know if that's going to happen because I do this thing sometimes. It's called tangenting. I know, it's a great one. Not you. You never tangent. No. Here we go. Potential disease control measures, benefits and consequences. Because things have consequences. This is what no one ever... This is another big problem we have right now. No one ever wants to talk about consequences. Right? We think that we can give everybody rights. And by rights, we mean, you know, when we say that, like, homosexuals have a right to have a bakery bake a cake for their wedding, okay? What that means is the government is going to force the people who own the bakery to do something they would prefer not to do, right? That is what passes for rights in our society. That's why, and if you've been around here for a while, you know that the Great One has covered this philosophy, blah, 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 blah. There's no such thing as rights. Rights don't exist. You don't have any rights. Shut the fuck up about your rights. The only rights you have are the ones that you can defend, okay? But when your commoner, when your typical libtard or your cuckservative talks about rights, what they actually mean is forcing other people to do things they want. And just as making up rights have consequences, all of this stupid shit that we're doing to lessen the impact of Wuhan virus, which has virtually no impact whatsoever. Let's just briefly review these numbers. The percentage of the world population infected with the Wuhan virus is 0.001%. The percentage of the United States population infected with the Wuhan virus is 0.0077%. And the point of people in Larimer County here in Colorado in the Soviet sector in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, Larimer County, which includes Fort Collins, Loveland, other, is 0.00197%. This is, of course, compared to the influenza pandemic, which was a real pandemic, which did say, actually, it didn't say what the infection rate, it did say blah, 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 25, by far the most lethal, planners estimate, that is. So 25 to 30%, it doesn't actually say in this piece, this thing, I should look this up just for my own knowledge. The 1918 influenza pandemic, it does say that the case fatality ratio is 2.5%, but it doesn't say what the actual infection rate was, but their guess based on that for a future pandemic is 25 to 30%. So anyhow, I mean, we have over and over and over until we're blue in the face. We've all established that this is not a pandemic. This is not a serious thing. Most of the people dying are just fucking boomers, which nobody cares about anyhow. And yet, I was just on the Twitterverse and it's just hysteria. You know, these tweets, the cases of COVID are skyrocketing with record numbers of infections. It's like, no, it's not. It's not. There's no record numbers of Wuhan infections. If nothing else, guys, okay, the number of known cases is going up because you're doing more testing. There's no record numbers here. And just because the virus is in your body doesn't mean you're even sick, much less going to die. And of course, the hospitals are going to admit more people for Wuhan virus because the hospitals don't have anybody in them because everybody's avoiding the hospital because they're scared of Wuhan, but nobody's in the hospital for Wuhan because it's not serious. The hospitals are losing money. The hospitals are going to start, and we're going to hit a point where the hospitals are, you're going to show up and just have the Wuhan virus in you. You're not even going to be experiencing any symptoms. They're going to try to get you to check into the hospital just because they need the money. But all of this is beyond the understanding of the commoner. This is why democracy doesn't work, okay? Democracy is not the solution. Democracy is the problem. Let's get back to this. All right, potential disease control measures, benefits, and consequences, because there are consequences. Large-scale community vaccination. Skipping some stuff. It is expected that it will be at least 6 months after the emergence of a pandemic strain before the initial supplies of vaccine can be produced. Blah, blah, blah. According to the National Strategy for Pandemic Influenza, it will be as much as 5 years before domestic vaccine production capacity is in place to create enough vaccine for the entire U.S. population within 6 months of the start of a pandemic. Once again, Wuhan is not influenza, but it's a virus. If it takes 5 years to make enough vaccine for influenza, it's going to take 5 years to make enough vaccine for Wuhan. So you guys are willing to do social distance. And you, here's the thing. A lot of you are. That's the terrifying part, is that 80% of the population is willing to continue the social distancing and the closing down of events and the limitations on public gatherings, freedom of assembly, and the wearing the mask and the taking of the temperatures and the intrusions, 80% of the people in the United States are perfectly willing to do that for 5 years until the vaccine is produced. And those people vote. And no, they're not all Democrats. Okay? There's a shit ton of Republic cucks in there too. Isolation of sick people in hospitals. Skipping some stuff. Okay, first, hospitals must protect their own staffs from infection and avoid becoming amplifiers of disease. Now, hey, where have you guys heard this before? Is there any podcaster you listen to who has repeatedly told you, based on his experience working in a hospital, that hospitals are where people go to die? Is there any podcaster you know who might have ever mentioned that hospitals are where people go to die? Have you ever heard that before? Nah, probably not. Probably not. Historically, hospitals have often accelerated the spread of contagious disease because of the presence of highly contagious patients and their close proximity to the medical staff who care for them and to other patients who are ill and vulnerable to infection. This next part, once again, this is important because let the great one remind you, I worked in a BSL level 3 facility. I have contained viruses. I understand far better than any of these morons on Twitter biocontainment. I understand biocontainment better than people who work at hospitals. Trust me. Okay? People who work in hospitals like doctors and shit, they may be great at being a doctor, whatever. Okay, that's fine. That's a different thing. When it comes to biosecurity, when it comes to biocontainment, okay? Biocontainment meaning creating an area of isolation, creating a situation in which an infectious disease is contained in a room or a chamber and does not escape, okay? That right there, I can tell you from working in the BSL level 3 facility and from working in hospitals, people at hospitals know nothing about biocontainment. They don't. And if that hurts your fucking, and I know you're a 24-year-old fat nurse and you think you know something about viruses, you need to shut the fuck up because you don't. Okay? Hospitals are not capable of true biocontainment. They're not. End of discussion. If your feelings are hurt, you can go fuck yourself. Modern hospitals are not designed to accommodate large numbers of highly contagious patients, and special measures, including cohorting of patients, adjustments to HVAC systems, and the use of personal protective gear will need to be made to protect healthcare workers and patients from infection. And most hospitals, their HVAC system is not capable of providing biocontainment. The HVAC system, the air changes in the room, and the filtering of the air coming out of the room are critical to biocontainment. Okay? Without the air changes, without the airlock system and the airtightness of the chamber, okay, and without the filtering of the air leaving the chamber, you do not have biosecurity. You do not have biocontainment. Those things, the HVAC system, the air changes, the pressurization, and the filtering, those, if you don't have that, you do not have biosecurity. I don't give a fuck if you're wearing a mask. I don't give a shit about your scrubs with little penises on them. I don't care if you posted a TikTok video. I don't give a fuck that you're a 24-year-old white girl who went to nursing school and you're overweight, okay? Biocontainment does not exist without pressurization, air changes, and filtering any more than you can have a fucking ocean without water. Once again, if that hurts your feelings, please kill yourself. You're a waste of protoplasm, and you need to die. Now, your larger hospitals might have isolation rooms that are set up correctly. But I can promise you, unless you're talking about a very large, very major hospital, they don't have enough isolation rooms to handle a true pandemic. Now, fortunately, the Wuhan virus is not a real pandemic, so none of this actually fucking matters. But a real pandemic, if we've got the influenza and 25 to 30% of the population is infected with influenza, there's not enough biocontainment to put those people in. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If there, that, and once again, guys, if there's ever a real pandemic, like if influenza does hit us and we're seeing infection rates of 25%, guys, I'm telling you, you may think it's, don't go to the fucking hospital. You may think it's a good idea and you may be so fucking sick that you think, well, if I go to the hospital, I can't get any sicker. Maybe. 50-50 chance, stay the fuck away from a hospital. If there's a real pandemic, stay the fuck away from a hospital and stay the fuck away from anybody who works at a hospital. Because once again, the people who work at the hospitals don't fucking understand. And this is something I'm talking about in another podcast. I got on notes because I talked about it before, but I didn't explain it very well. And so I need to revisit it and explain it better. They don't understand cross-contamination. They think they do, but they don't, because they're 24-year-old overweight white girls who went to nursing school. All right, moving on. Skipping a bunch of stuff. Hand washing and respiratory etiquette. The influenza virus actually survives on the hands for less than 5 minutes, but regular hand washing is a common sense action. I don't think it's common sense anymore, because when the government told people to wash their hands, we found out how many people weren't doing that. Regular hand washing is a common sense action that should be widely followed. It has been shown to reduce the transmission of respiratory illnesses in a military trainee setting, although there are no data to demonstrate that hand washing deters the spread of influenza within a committee. Community. I'm looking at the words on the paper, but I'm just making things up when it comes to pronouncing them. Let me read that again, though. This is important. There are no data to demonstrate that hand washing deters the spread of influenza within a community. General respiratory hygiene, such as covering one's mouth when coughing and using disposable paper tissues, is widely believed to be of some value in diminishing spread, even though there is no hard evidence that this is so. Large-scale quarantine measures. There are no historical observations or scientific studies that support the confinement of quarantine of groups of possibly infected peoples for extended periods in order to slow the spread of influenza. A World Health Organization, remember the World Health Organization, the people who initially told us that the Wuhan virus was no big deal and it couldn't spread from one person to another? Anybody remember the World Health Organization? A World Health Organization. Notice how there's no evidence to support any of the things you're being told by the government you're supposed to do. Like washing your hands. I mean, sure, it's a good idea, but there's no evidence it's going to stop the spread of anything. Covering your mouth when you cough. I mean, sure, it's a good idea, but there's no evidence that it's going to do anything. No, so there's no evidence for any of this stuff. A World Health Organization writing group, after reviewing the literature and considering contemporary international experience, concluded that, quote, forced isolation and quarantine are ineffective and impractical, unquote. Despite this recommendation by experts, the experts at the WHO, remember the WHO guys, said that forced isolation and quarantine are ineffective and impractical. Despite the recommendations, by experts. Mandatory large-scale quarantine continues to be considered as an option by some authorities and government officials. Yeah, we just went through a period of that. You know, despite the WHO saying that forced isolation and quarantine are ineffective and impractical. Because, you know, science. Because it's all about science.
Science. I believe in science.
The interest in quarantine reflects the views and conditions prevalent more than 50 years ago. You know, back when racist white people ruled the world. When much less was known about the epidemiology of infectious diseases, and when there was far less international and domestic travel in a less densely populated world. It is difficult to identify circumstances in the past half century when large-scale quarantine has been effectively used in the control of any disease. So once again, see, we have no evidence that this will work. So we're going to tell everybody the government's going to force you to do something for which they have no evidence it will work, and they're going to do it in the name of science. See, this is what passes for science nowadays. Science has become the new superstition. There's no evidence for it, but we're not going to call it superstition because we'll look like idiots. So we're going to call it science and just hope that people are dumb enough to not recognize that we're actually just superstitious idiots. The negative consequences of large-scale quarantine are so extreme: forced confinement of sick people with the well, complete restriction of movement of large populations, difficulty in getting critical supplies, medicines, and food to people inside the quarantine zone, that this mitigation measure should be eliminated from serious consideration. Home quarantine. Voluntary home quarantine would be requested to individuals who are asymptomatic, but who have had substantial contact with a person who has influenza, primarily household members. The aim of voluntary home quarantine is to keep possibly contagious, but still asymptomatic people out of circulation. This sounds logical, as many superstitions do. I mean, it sounds logical that if you walked under a ladder, bad luck. It sounds logical that if a black cat walks across your path, you're going to have bad luck. But this sounds logical, but this measure raises significant practical and ethical issues. But see, fortunately, in the current year, 2020, the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump Fuhrer, we've eliminated ethical issues. Because you see, right now, the most important ethical issue is the extermination of white people. And so any other ethical issues can just be set aside. We as a society need to focus on exterminating white people. So we can just ignore the ethical issues of home quarantine. But, I mean, back in 2006, see, they still had some kind of fucking ethics or something, apparently, because back in this day, they were actually looking for evidence to support their thesis about how you should deal with an actual real pandemic as opposed to a fake pandemic like the Wuhan virus. So let's continue. Let's see what kind of ethical issues were raised in the year 2006, which are now completely ignored in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Kuckenfuhrer, who hasn't built a wall. There's still trannies in the military. Has basically cucked out on every promise he made because Orange Man may not be bad, but Orange Man is a cuck. If implemented on a community-wide scale, logistical requirements related to ensuring that quarantined households across a community had appropriate care and support would be necessary. How compliant the public might be is uncertain. Well, not in 2020 it isn't. Everybody is perfectly compliant because they're sheep. Parents would presumably be willing to stay home and care for sick children, but it is not known, for example, whether college students would agree to be interned with infectious dorm mates. Even if home quarantine were generally acceptable to the community, individuals may not have the economic resources to stay at home. Wait, you mean if you can't leave your house and go to work to earn money, you still have to pay for your rent? Really? See, they figured that out in 2006. In 2020, it's just like, just tell everybody to stay home. What could go wrong? Well, they don't need jobs. Few employers currently have provisions for paid absence unless the workers themselves are ill. For those who are hourly workers or who are self-employed, the potential loss of wages as a result of having to stay home simply because an individual had contact with sick people might not be acceptable or feasible. Fortunately, we can just put everybody on unemployment because money printer go burr. Home quarantine also raises ethical questions. Implementation of home quarantine could result in healthy, uninfected people being placed at risk of infection from sick household members. Practices to reduce the chance of transmission, hand washing, maintaining a distance of 3 feet from infected people, etc., could be recommended, but a policy imposing home quarantine would preclude, for example, sending healthy children to stay with relatives when a family member becomes ill. Such policy would also be particularly hard on and dangerous to people living in close quarters where the risk of infection would be heightened. And of course, we know who lives in close quarters. Well, poor people. Because they can't afford larger places to live and they shove more people in a place to live because they don't have any money because they're poor. And well, who are the poor people? Well, that would be the pox and that would be racist. Travel restrictions. Now, we'll keep in mind, that the great one throughout this whole thing has said, if there was a real pandemic, the first thing we would do is shut down the airports, right? Just intellectual honesty. So just remember, I'm the one who said, if there was a real pandemic, the first thing that would happen would be shutting down the airports. Okay, here we go. Travel restrictions. Such as closing airports and screening travelers at borders have historically been ineffective. The World Health Organization, anybody remember the World Health Organization? The people who told us that Wuhan virus couldn't spread from one person to another and it was no big deal and nothing to get worked up about? The World Health Organization writing group concluded that, quote, screening and quarantining entering travelers at international borders did not substantially delay virus introduction in past pandemics and will likely be even less effective in the modern era, unquote. Obviously, because I called for shutting down the borders and the airports, I disagree with that. I have no evidence on which to base my disagreement, but unlike the morons who are telling me I have to wear a mask when I go in the grocery store, I'm willing to admit that I don't have any evidence to back that up, right? If you fucking mask cocksuckers would just admit that you have no evidence and this is based on your feelings, I would hate you a little bit less. But you know what? I don't want to hate you less. I really don't. I'm totally okay hating you fuckers as much as I do. Never mind. Similar conclusions were reached by public health authorities involved in the international efforts to control SARS. Canadian health authorities reported that, quote, available screening measures for SARS were limited in their effectiveness in detecting SARS among inbound or outbound passengers from SARS-affected areas, unquote. A review by the WHO, you guys remember the WHO, right? A review by the WHO Working Group on SARS also concluded that, quote, entry screening of travelers through health declarations or thermal scanning at international borders had little documented effect on detecting SARS cases, unquote. But then we also have to factor in the WHO is also the people who said that Wuhan virus couldn't spread from one person to another and was no big deal. Now, apparently, Wuhan virus is a pandemic and we're all going to die. So even though the WHO is saying that travel restrictions don't work, considering the WHO's track record, why would we take them seriously on anything? I mean, if they say X, why would you believe that? If they say not X, why would you believe that? They're pretty much like the mass media, like the mainstream media. Right? Whatever they say, if you just, this is the thing Adam Piggott has been repeating for quite a while now. If you just take whatever the mainstream media is saying, just believe the opposite, you'll be right more often than you'll be wrong. Remember, Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. There's no way that Donald Trump could win the election, and Bill Clinton did not have sex with that woman. We learned all of these things from the mainstream media. Oh, and the polar ice caps are going to be melted by the year 2020. The authors have concluded in a previous analysis that screening individuals on domestic interstate flights for symptoms of flu, as has been proposed in revisions to the federal quarantine rule, would not be effective and would have serious adverse consequences. It is reasonable to assume that the economic cost of shutting down air travel or train travel would be very high, and the societal cost involving the interruption of all air or train travel would be extreme. Shutting down public transportation for an extended period is not an option in many places. In New York City, an average of 4.7 million people ride the subway each weekday. The Los Angeles Metro averages 1.3 million riders daily. 4.7 million people in the subway each day. And we wonder why there's more cases of Wuhan in New York City than any place else. Once again, how many times do I have to repeat that humans are not evolved or designed or created, however you think we got here, to pack that many humans in that small of a space and remain physically, mentally, and emotionally happy. Or healthy. Healthy is a better word than happy. I knew it was some word that started with H. Prohibition of social gatherings, otherwise known as restricting freedom of association, otherwise known as slavery. I'm sorry. I thought conservative Republicucks fought a civil war to end slavery. So if slavery is over, why can't I go to a public gathering of as many people as I want to have? That's right, because I'm the property of the government. Now, unless, of course, I'm a pox, in which case I can go out on the streets and I can run around and set things on fire and break things and assault people because, you know, fortunately, we don't have slavery anymore and we have the government. And without the government, people would run down, we'd have anarchy. Without the government, people would like run down the streets and they'd be beating other people up and they'd be breaking things and looting and stealing and setting things on fire. But fortunately, we have the government. We have a social contract. We have democracy. And thanks to the wonders of the state, nobody is running down the street, setting things on fire, breaking into stores, stealing things, or assaulting people. Oh my God, thank God we've got the government to protect us from all that anarchy out there. Well, I mean, what would we do? Where would roads come from? Prohibition of social gatherings. During seasonal influenza epidemics, public events with an expected large attendance have sometimes been canceled or postponed, the rationale being to decrease the number of contacts with those who might be contagious. Keep in mind that in influenza, influenza epidemics, We're talking about an infection rate at any given time of about 10% of the population, right? Whereas opposed to Wuhan virus, just a reminder, in the United States, we're talking about an infection rate of 0.00038% versus 10% infection rate for influenza, okay? 0.00038% Wuhan infection rate. This cannot be emphasized how important the actual infection rate is, okay? Not the shit you see on Twitter, the things you get by doing just simple math. You take the number of people confirmed infected with the testing and you divide it by the fucking population and you get a fucking percentage. It's really fucking easy. It's so easy that nobody on Twitter can do this. Okay. Rationale being to decrease the number of contacts with those who might be contagious. There are, now you might say, but great one. What about the people we don't know they have it because they haven't been tested. Okay. So the people who have been tested, we know how many of them have the Wuhan virus, right? Now, the people who haven't been tested, how many of them have the Wuhan virus? Well, how many of them are so sick that they need to be in a hospital? Well, none of them, because if they were sick enough to be in a hospital, they'd be in a hospital where they would be tested, where we would know they have the Wuhan virus. Okay? So of the untested people, even if they have the Wuhan virus in their body, their immune system is sufficiently fighting off the Wuhan virus to the point that it's not making them sick enough that they need to go to a hospital or they need medical care. Therefore, for all practical intents and purposes, those people can be considered to just be not infected. Because if you have a virus in your body, but the virus doesn't make you sick or kill you, it's not that big of a fucking deal that the virus is in your body. There are, however, no certain indications that these actions have had any definitive effect on the severity or duration of an epidemic. Well, yet again, there's just no evidence for the measures the government is taking to contain a virus. There's no evidence at all. Yet everybody who says this is what we have to do, that's science. No, it's superstition. That's why this is the superstition podcast. This is superstition. This is people making things up because they are afraid of things they don't understand. Literally Hitler, 99% of the population does not understand what is a virus. They are making things up in an effort to stop themselves from being afraid. Were consideration to be given to doing this on a more extensive scale and for an extended period, questions immediately arise as to how many such events would be affected. We now know the answer to that. It would be all of them. Because the governments have shut down all mass public attended events. There are many social gatherings, and once again, this is why the Wuhan virus is going to rear its ugly head again in time to shut down all mass events around Christmas. I explained that, I made that prediction in the previous podcast. We're going to have another round so that there can be no Christmas gatherings at churches, especially, but there can be no Christmas parties, there can be no hanging out with your friends and family for Christmas. There are many social gatherings that involve close contacts among people, and this prohibition might include church services, athletic events, perhaps all meetings of more than 100 people. It might mean closing theaters, restaurants, malls, large stores, and bars. Does any of this sound familiar? Implementing such measures would have seriously disruptive consequences for a community if extended through the 8-week period of an epidemic in a municipal area, let alone if it were to be extended through the nation's experience with a pandemic, perhaps 8 months. In the event of a pandemic, attendance at public events or social gatherings could well decrease because people were fearful of becoming infected, and some events might be canceled because of local concerns. But a policy calling for community-wide cancellation of public events seems inadvisable. But hey, fortunately, thanks to democracy, the stupid people who vote have elected other stupid people to tell them what to do. So regardless of how inadvisable this seems, we're getting it. School closure. Of course, schools, you know, essentially being slaughterhouses for young people's brains and spirits and personalities and souls. It's really hard for me to complain about schools being closed, but let's go with it. School closures. In previous influenza epidemics, I was going to say, so do you think they're going to determine that closing the schools is a good idea or a bad idea? I don't know. What do you think? School closures. In previous influenza epidemics, the impact of school closings on illness rates has been mixed. A study from Israel. I don't really know that studies on Jews has anything to do with humans, but okay, sure, let's go with it. A study from Israel reported a decrease in respiratory infections after a 2-week teacher strike, but the decrease was only evident for a single day. So the teachers went on strike and the respiratory infections went down. So you're telling me the teachers were coming to school sick? On the other hand, when schools closed for a winter holiday during the 1918 pandemic in Chicago, more influenza cases developed among pupils than when the schools were in session, unquote. Sort of like in New York City, remember when we covered this, how the mayor of New York City was shocked. He was shocked to discover that after they did the home quarantine, the group of people that had the most new cases of Wuhan were the people who stayed home, not the people who went to their essential jobs. Guys, you can sit here and you can masturbate about how you control reality all you want, and if you do X, you're going to get Y. But reality doesn't care about your masturbation, okay? Just because you think X is going to lead to Y doesn't mean X is going to lead to Y. The world, the virus, you know, the pandemics, the earthquakes, the weather, the ice caps, the oceans, whatever the fuck it is, they're going to do what they want to do despite what you think they should do. Schools are often closed for 1 to 2 weeks early in the development of seasonal community outbreaks of influenza, primarily because of high absentee rates, especially in elementary schools, and because of illness among teachers. This would seem reasonable on practical grounds. However, to close schools for longer periods is not only impractical, but carries the possibility of a serious adverse outcome. For example, for working parents who shouldn't have had children if they can't afford for one parent to stay home and raise the children, but, you know, never mind that. We got to get those inferior fucking retard people to breed and spit out more retards, because otherwise, who's going to vote for libtards and republicocks? For example, for working parents, school serves as a form of daycare. See, once again, in 2006, you could be honest. You could use words in sentences like retard, because you know what the word retard means, and you could write things such as, for working parents, school serves as a form of daycare. See, you couldn't say that in the year 2020, because that would be racist. But this is a fact. School is a form of daycare. That's exactly what it is. For example, for working parents, school serves as a form of daycare. In some areas, a source of nutritional meals for children from lower income families. You also can't say that anymore because that's racist. In 2005, some 29.5 million children were fed through the National School Lunch Program. 9.3 million children received meals as part of the school breakfast program. Why are these people reproducing if they can't feed their kids? Okay, guys, once again, see, people have a right to have children. This isn't about having the children. Once again, see, when somebody says, I have a right to have children, what they mean is they have the expectation of other people subsidizing their children. They believe that it is okay for them to steal your finite life from you in the form of taxation, because money is time and you only have so much time to live. The amount of time you have on earth is finite. Taxation is theft. I know you fucking Republican conservatives don't want to hear this because you'll build the roads and some of the tax money goes for good things. Yes, and some of the money the Nazis took from the Jews when they exterminated the fucking Juden was used for good things, okay? So shut the fuck up about how because some of the tax money is used for good things, it's okay. Taxation's not theft anymore. Take a fucking, a 101 fucking level philosophy class, you fucking retards. Forgot where I was, because so bitching, oh, taxation, theft. Feeding other people's children because they reproduced, but they can't fucking afford to reproduce. In Ancapidice, these people will starve to death, okay? It's called evolution. It's called natural selection. But once again, you statist, you have to circumvent natural selection because you're breeding inferior, stupid people, and then you get things like the pox rioting and all these fucking Karens who are forcing you to wear a mask, and you're just baffled. You can't figure out how the fuck that happened. Like, literally Hitler, Republic cucks right now, they're just, I can't believe there's all these Karens. Where did these Karens come from? Well, I don't know. Maybe if some people hadn't fucking circumvented natural selection, maybe we wouldn't have so many fucking Karens. But you fucking idiots, you have no concept of consequences. You just think everything is consequence-free. A portion of America's workforce would be unable to go to work as long as children were out of schools. Heightened absentee rates could cripple essential services. Heightened absentee rates could cripple essential service industries. Teachers might not be paid. I fail to understand how that would be a negative consequence. Teachers might not be paid, and a great many hourly workers, mall and fast food employees, school janitorial, security and kitchen staff, bus drivers, would face particular financial hardship. But once again, money printer go burr, we just give them unemployment and continue to destroy the economy. All right. Ooh, needed a big swig of water there, because here we go. Use of mask and personal protective equipment. Mask and other personal protective equipment, PPE, are essential for controlling transmission of influenza in hospitals. For people who work in hospitals, current CDC guidelines for influenza infection control recommend droplet precautions, including the use of surgical mask. But HHS planning guidelines also rightly acknowledge that the uncertainties regarding the potential of virus transmission at the start of a new pandemic would recommend that airborne precautions be used in hospitals, that is, N95 mask or powered air purifying respirators. Patients would be advised to wear surgical masks to diminish the number of infectious respiratory particles being dispersed into the air, thereby diminishing the likelihood of further spread. In Asia, during the SARS period, many people in the afflicted communities wore surgical masks when in public. But studies have shown, and yes, there are footnotes leading to these studies, okay? They're not just writing, studies have shown without providing information about the actual studies. Okay, this is not journalism. See, this is science. In journalism, they write, studies have shown that all white people are racist, right? But there's no link. There's no citation. Citation needed. This paper has citations. You can go read some of them. I did. We might cover that in an upcoming episode. Studies have shown that the ordinary surgical mask does little to prevent inhalation of small droplets bearing influenza virus. The pores in the mask, listen up guys, this is real important. Tell me we've heard this before. The pores in the mask become blocked by moisture from breathing and the airstream simply diverts around the mask. Guys, is there any podcaster you listen to who has explained to you that if the mask is not sealed to your face, the airflow just goes around the mask, not through it? Is there any podcaster you listen to who did like a 20 fucking minute segment explaining how masks work and don't work? There are few data available to support the efficacy of N95 or surgical mask outside of a healthcare setting. N95 masks need to be fit tested to be efficacious and are uncomfortable to wear for more than an hour or two. More important, the supplies of such masks are too limited to even ensure that hospitals will have the necessary reserves. That part may have changed since 2006, but the rest of it didn't. Very superstitious. Whoa. Nothing more to say. Actually, I do have more to say. Stick around. Very superstitious. The devil's on his way. Rushing my car, baby. Don't you look in race. 7 years of Oh, but superstition is the way for Karen. Superstition is the only thing Karen and the boomer women's understand, because they're afraid of death. Right? The boomers discovered they're going to die one day, and now they're going to do anything they're going to destroy the economy rather than, you know, there's other things boomers could do to live longer, right? They could eat nutritious, they could exercise, they could lift some weights, they could stop being fat. You know, but oh no, boomers aren't willing to do any of that to live longer. But boomers want, they're totally willing to destroy the economy of the United States and make everybody stay at home and slowly go insane. I haven't actually looked at these statistics. I don't know, there's all those things. I've heard it. I don't know that it's true. I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying I've heard it. that suicide rates have gone up since the home quarantine shit started. He said, I'm not saying it's true. I have no data. I am not a Karen. Notice how I'm telling you, I have no data. I just heard that. I saw it on the internet. It must be true. It was on Twitter. Because I'm like, Karen, I'll just believe anything I see on Twitter as long as it supports the worldview I currently have. But I can believe it. And once again, let's just for the moment say that it's true. Once again, so boomers are perfectly willing to create an environment in which young people kill themselves so that the boomers can cling to 5 more years of life drooling on themselves and being parasites on society, collecting their fucking Social Security and their Medicare. All right, so we almost made it through this. I'll read that, the summary. All right, so community response to a pandemic, a summary of possible actions. Here is the summary of this paper. There is no question but that another influenza pandemic will occur and that every community needs to be prepared for that eventuality. Influenza is unlike any other disease epidemic in the rapidity with which it spreads and, as it emerges, the number of illnesses that it will cause, that it can cause over a period of a few months. The world has weathered 3 pandemics during the past century and will certainly surmount the next one. How much damage the pandemic will cause depends to a large extent on the state of readiness of each community and each metropolitan region and the efficacy and reasonableness of its response. So far, to the Wuhan virus, our responses have been completely unreasonable. The virus has done virtually no damage whatsoever, but the response of the statists and the Karens and the boomers has fucking destroyed large portions of our society and our economy. And we're going to talk much more about this on a non-superstition episode. The following is a synopsis. Synopsis is something different. The following is a synopsis of the author's judgments regarding possible disease mitigation measures. A communication strategy and plans. And I am skipping some stuff just because it'll sound weird to you as I read this. An important message is to request that those who are ill remain isolated at home or in the hospital, but to encourage others to continue to come to work so that essential services can be sustained. Closure of schools. It has been the practice in many communities to close the schools for 10 to 14 days at the beginning of an epidemic of seasonal flu, primarily because of the number of both teachers and pupils who are absent. This is a reasonable initiative, often expected in many communities, that also serves to demonstrate action on the part of officials. Closing schools for longer periods in hopes of mitigating the epidemic by decreasing contact among students is not warranted unless all other likely points of assembly are closed, example, malls, fast food restaurants, churches, recreation centers, etc. Such widespread closures sustained through the pandemic would almost certainly have serious adverse social and economic effects. Wow, who knew? Hand washing and respiratory hygiene. Everyone should be encouraged to wash their hands after coming in contact with people who are ill and cover their mouths when coughing or sneezing. Because apparently, as I have learned recently, you actually have to tell people in the year 2020 that they should cover their mouth when they cough or sneeze, because they didn't know this. Because inbreeding. Because the government breeds stupid people. Because only stupid people vote. I mean, do you vote? Of course, if you listen to this podcast, odds are you don't vote. You know why you don't vote? Because you're not a fucking inbred retard. Because you know that the politicians are all the same. They're all statist. one status or another status. Well, I'm going to rape you in the vagina. Well, I'm going to rape you in the asshole. Wow, what a wonderful choice. I'm going to break your left leg. Well, I'm going to break your right leg. Wow, what a wonderful choice. You know, I'm going to tax your income. Well, I'm going to tax your property. Wow, what a wonderful fucking choice. I mean, you have to be a fucking retard to think that voting makes a fucking difference. Especially for politicians. Once again, if you're new around here, if you're voting on something like, should this tax be increased? You know, I'm fine with voting because I do that. Those I vote on. Like, well, should the tax be increased? I vote against every fucking tax increase that I have the opportunity to vote against. But voting for politicians, voting for people, it's at best, it's a mental illness. You say, great one, didn't you vote for Donald Trump? I did. It was a mental illness. Once I'm not sitting here and deny it. I'm not like a tranny. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm not mentally ill when I'm obviously mentally ill. Canceling or postponing meetings or events involving large numbers of people. Intuitively, this would appear to be a helpful adjunct, if I can read, to reduce contacts among people and so mitigate the effects of the epidemic. However, individuals normally have a great many contacts through the community on a daily basis, shopping in stores, attending church, traveling on public transportation, and so on. Recognizing that the spread of influenza is primarily by person-to-person contact, any one individual, even in a large gathering, would have only a limited number of such close encounters with infected people. Thus, canceling or postponing large meetings would not be likely to have any significant effect on the development of the epidemic. While local concerns may result in the closure of particular events for logical reasons, a policy directing community-wide closure of public events seems inadvisable. And the final paragraph, an overriding principle. Experience has shown that communities faced with epidemics or other adverse events respond best and with the least anxiety when the normal social functioning of the community is least disrupted. Now, this is important because what's going on right now is the disruption of social community. Very specifically, the disruption of social communities of Christians and white people. Right? This is why the pox can go out and riot, but if white people try to go to church, the police are going to show up. Because the actual goal, and I mean, Wuhan wasn't fabricated to facilitate this. This is simply an example of the people taking advantage of Wuhan virus to further their goal of exterminating white people. Part of the goal here is to disrupt the social functioning of the community. That's why the governments are shutting everything down. That's why you have to wear a mask. I've said this how many fucking times? The point of wearing the mask is to alienate and distance people from each other. The point of social distancing is not to prevent Wuhan virus. It's to alienate and isolate people from each other. It is to weaken the society, weaken the fabric of the society, weaken the fabric of the community, weaken the links and the bonds between people to make them more vulnerable to propaganda, to make them mentally, emotionally, and physically more unhealthy so that they will be easier to manipulate and easier to exterminate, okay? I don't know why this is so fucking hard to understand, other than unless you're a statist and you're just clinging to your thing about how the government is the only thing that builds roads and stops anarchists from running down the roads and looting the auto parts store. Strong political and public health leadership to provide reassurance and to ensure that needed medical care services are provided are critical elements. If either is seen to be less than optimal, a manageable epidemic could move towards catastrophe. Or maybe we get lucky and pox could start rioting in major cities, and if we got really lucky, they could burn the fucking cities down. But that is another episode.